Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, Mill. Royce is not here this morning, and he always says that he's a substitute song leader. So we had a substitute and a substitute, and I think sometimes Pat Murphy says he's a substitute too, but he's not able to be here most of the time. But thank you so much. We appreciate that, and what a blessing. These great hymns are such a blessing too. If I should turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in verse 27, we've been studying the Gospel of John, and now we have come to John 14 and this particular verse. And I want to welcome those who may be listening online. We do put our sermon on our website, wheatlandbaptist.com. You can always go there and listen to sermons on there if you're not always able to hear them. But so welcome to those who are listening. Some listen because they aren't able to come to our service, and some are not able to be here for other reasons. You can listen. So John 14, 27, let's read this, and I'll ask you to stand if you would as we read this, and then we'll look to God in prayer. John 14, 27, very familiar. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Lord, bless our time in your word this morning. Help me as I preach to please you. May you use your word to speak to our hearts. Help us all to listen to the voice of God this morning through the word of God. And may your name be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Oh, for a refreshing drink from the water of the well of peace that God provides. What more could we ask for? What more could God give to you than what he has given? Peace. Peace. In the world, I see nothing but turmoil, chaos, death, destruction, everywhere. Everywhere. Just turn on the news and there it is, right? But oh, the promise of peace is heard. We always hear, oh, there's going to be peace. Our president, like most every president before him, makes promises that everyone knows he cannot keep. We hear a lot of empty words and vain promises, pie-in-the-sky proclamations. When President Joe Biden was inaugurated, he said things like, I will unite this country. I'm a uniter. Unity is a path forward. Promises of unity. There are better days ahead. And I'm a president for all Americans. And I'm the one that's going to bring peace. Well, yeah, we've heard that before. How many times? They all say that. They all say that. And none of them seem to be able to do it, do they? We will finally have unity in this country is a promise. We will have peace and prosperity. Just allow us to spend a few more trillion dollars and then tax you to death, and then we'll finally have arrived to nirvana, the place of eternal bliss and peace. Historians have estimated that in the last 3,500 years, the world has seen less than 300 years of peace. That's less than 10% of history. 90% of the last 3,500 years has been times of conflict. It's also been estimated in the last 5,000 years, there have been more than 8,000 peace treaties that have been broken. I don't know where they get that number, but that's the estimate. 8,000 peace treaties have been broken and more than 14,000 wars fought with a combined total of about 4 billion, with a B, 4 billion casualties or deaths. We've never seen peace throughout this world, and we will never, mark it down, we will never ever see peace in this world. It's not going to happen in this life. Americans kill each other. In America, we're killing each other, especially in cities like Chicago, L.A., Minneapolis, New York City. They kill each other. And some kill each other for a lot of pretty lame, dumb reasons, petty reasons. For example, there's the Florida man who was accused of shooting and killing his brother over an argument about a cheeseburger. A Texas man was accused of shooting and killing a stranger for cutting in front of him with his taco truck. Shot him, killed him, because he cut in front of him. Another Texas man was accused of shooting and killing his stepson for jumping on the bed. Now, I can understand that. I mean, it's like, don't jump on the bed. I told you don't do it. But I mean, to shoot him and kill him? A Colorado man is accused of shooting a neighbor after an argument about feeding squirrels. So be careful who you argue with. Make sure they don't have a gun. And don't argue with your neighbors. It just never turns out good. I had a realtor once here in McPherson tell me about two guys that lived next to each other, and they didn't realize their property line went right through the middle of a garage. One guy claimed the garage. He thought the garage was all on his property, and they did a survey of the property and found out the property line ran through it, and so they had to share the garage. And the realtor told me that one of the guys got so mad he took a chainsaw and he cut the garage in half. I mean, that'll solve your problem. You have this half, I'll have this half, I guess. Anyway, and so we have murders, a murder rate in cities like L.A., Chicago, Baltimore, New York City, Minneapolis has just gone up and up. And many of them have moved to defund the police, you know. That just sounds like a good thing. Let's get rid of the police and then we'll have peace. Duh. Defund the police. And the result was no surprise. Crime went up in these cities. You see, there can be no peace in our cities without policemen keeping order, keeping the bad guys shut down. On the Mexican border, that's why our border patrol, we need to give them the authority and support to keep the criminals out, but we're letting them in. And there's a reason we call our law enforcement officers peace officers or officers of the peace. And many of them give their lives protecting your peace and my peace. If I have a bad guy attacking my home, trying to break in my home, and he has a gun, I'm going to call the police, and the police are going to come, and they're going to risk their lives in trying to get rid of this guy, get him out of the way. And they may have to shoot at him, and they may shoot at the policeman. And so they give their lives over and over again. People want peace. People want peace in their lives. They want some tranquility in their lives inside of them, in families, in communities, to be free from trouble. Oh, to be free from trouble, to be free from stress, to be free from threats, fear, anxiety, depression, despair, conflict. Everybody wants that. Everybody's seeking that. And we think we can get peace by social change or economic change. We seek peace through drugs. That used to be me. I just try another drug, a little more marijuana. I'll finally have peace in my heart. We seek peace through drugs, recreation, entertainment, even shopping. Shopping. My wife and I used to go shopping because we thought it would make us happy, you know, before we knew the Lord is our Savior. And we loved doing that. But it'd make us happy for a day or two, and then we'd have to go buy something else. That was hard on the budget, you know. Had to make sure we had enough money to do that. But external, it's all external fixes that do nothing to fix the troubled heart of man. You see, I know there's nothing better than going to Save and Share, going to Hidden Closet, Reuse It Center, find a bargain, another bargain, but we always come up empty, always needing more. Now, that's great to go buy things there. It's all used, it's cheaper, right? It's cheaper. But in the world, we are guaranteed to have tribulation. That's the point I'm trying to make. In the world, we're going to have tribulation, because all these things we try to do, they do not fix a troubled heart. And we're guaranteed to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world, in John 16:33. Nation is always going to rise against nation, right? And we know that there is no peace. We know that when there is no peace and only turmoil, we can be encouraged to know that everything's going according to God's schedule. So be encouraged when you hear the news of how much turmoil and fighting and chaos there is. Everything's going according to God's schedule. Because at the time of the end, at the time of the consummation of all things, Jesus told us the nation would rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom in Matthew 24, verse 7. In fact, you might turn there. Matthew 24, and look at verse 6. Matthew 24, 6. He went up to the Mount of Olives and he taught. And he said to his disciples, verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Friends, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, before Jesus comes again. But there can be no true and lasting peace until we see the coming of the Prince of Peace. And we'll see that one day. And we read about it in the Revelation that we looked at earlier. Also Revelation 21 verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, the old things, are passed away. And God's going to make all things new. And though you and I will likely never see true peace, well, because Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And though you and I will likely never see true peace, we are promised personal peace from Jesus Christ himself that will surpass any semblance of peace that can be offered in this world, in this life. He is true peace. He and he alone is real peace, lasting peace, peace that reaches down to the very depth of your heart and soul. And that's where you need it. I don't need peace on the outside. I need peace in my heart. And then I have it all. I have everything I need because I have Jesus and I have peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. So indeed, it is well with my soul. Is it well? Is there peace in your soul, in your heart? We're talking about a supernatural, God-given peace that surpasses anything that anyone can experience apart from God. You know, it's a peace that doesn't care about what's going on around you. That's the kind of peace I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care what's happening in your life. This kind of peace doesn't depend on the circumstances, but it lives above them, where Christ dwells. It's a peace found not necessarily in the absence of trouble and strife, but in plowing through them with our mind and our heart fixed on God. It's learning to be joyful and happy and content in spite of and even because of what is happening in a negative way around me. Abraham Lincoln is said to have said, "I have found that people are as happy as they choose to be." And you and I, for sure, as believers, ought to choose every time to be happy, to be joyful, even better, in the Lord. It's pressing on the upward way and gaining new heights every day. Paul said, "I know both how to be abased and how to abound," in Philippians 4:12. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I can handle prosperity. I can handle adversity. I have peace. I am content in my heart. Again, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled." What a promise, what a hope, what assurance, what peace this gives to the seeking heart that wanders through the desert of this world looking for peace. He says, "I leave with you, I give to you, I give unto you, I give, I leave." Our God is a liberal. He is a real, true liberal because he is very liberal to you and me with his gifts. It's all about the liberal giving of our Lord and our simply receiving it for peace. You see, I don't work for peace. I don't pay for peace. I don't strive for peace. I simply and believingly receive it from the gracious hand of God. In one verse, he says, I give, I leave. What more do you want? How much more emphasis can he make than what he has made in that verse? Well, as he spoke this verse, we need to remember that Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room on the night before Christ is taken and crucified. And the Lord realizes that his disciples are troubled, very troubled, because he told them he was leaving them. And so he gave them a farewell message of comfort and hope. And he promised to give them the Holy Spirit who would be with them and lead them in the way of righteousness and truth. And before he leaves them, he shares this great promise of peace. He wants his followers to have peace. He wants you. He desires that you have peace. And he makes it possible that you can. Always, always, you and I can always have peace. And I need that, friends. I struggle just like you do for having peace in my heart. Well, this verse kind of falls into four parts, and I want to look at the phrases here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled. So first of all, we see a promised peace. Promised in the past tense. We see a promised peace. Number one, peace I leave with you. That's a promise. He's going away. He's going back to heaven, to the very throne of God where he belongs. But he will go away, go the way of torture, humiliation, and a brutal, brutal, bloody, gruesome death. Those he came to save are going to nail him to the cross. He came to save his people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. And the Romans, the Gentiles, can be saved too. And the Jews wanted him nailed to the cross, and the Gentiles did their dirty deed. Pilate had him crucified. And so those he came to save will murder him. They mercilessly beat him and bloodied him and nailed him to a cross and left him to painfully hang there for hours and hours. And because he went to the cross and died and rose again victorious over sin and death, he can make this beautiful and sacred promise of peace. He can do that, and he does do that. It's not a peace that's dependent upon how things are going on the outside. It's a peace that's working on the inside, no matter what the situation is on the outside. In other words, this peace is a peace that is above the circumstances. It's a peace that says, it is well with my soul. Somebody asked me, well, how are you doing? I say, oh, I'm doing well. And by that I mean, things are going well. Circumstances are good. And they should say, well, is it well with your soul? Well, let me think about that. And I should be able to say, yes, yes. It's a peace that only Christ can give, and he does. It's a peace that comes from knowing God. And you can't know the peace of God until you are at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? Are you his friend? Are you his child? Are you redeemed? Apart from salvation by grace through faith, you and I are enemies to God. Paul described this condition in Ephesians 2, verse 1, as being dead in trespasses and sins. And in that condition, we had our way of life, verse 3, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We lived our life completely controlled by the prince and the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. Again, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. God said in Isaiah 48, 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Unto the wicked. And in Ephesians 2, God goes on to say, verse 14, for he is our peace. He, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, made you and me one with him, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is a great gulf fixed between us. We cannot get to our God because sin had separated us from God. But Jesus died on the cross and took our sins on him and made the way possible to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. So he is our peace. And therefore we can have the peace of God now that he who is our peace has caused us to be at peace with our God. He promises peace to those who know him. And I want this peace. Don't you want it? I need this peace. I need it. I need it. I need it. Every time I watch the news, oh, God, for a dose of your peace, I need that. I need that. I can have this peace because he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You see? I'm going away, but never fear. You will have this peace. Paul said in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Peace I leave with you. You know that word in the original, peace I leave with you, has the idea of sending away. I leave, I send away, I leave alone. So he's going, he's sending away his peace with you and me. He sends it away. He is going away, but he's not leaving his disciples without hope and help. He is leaving his peace. And what more could he give than that? Sending you and me away with peace. Peace I send away with you. I release it to you. It's as though he's saying. So promise peace. Number one was a promise peace. Number two, a given peace. A given peace. My peace I give unto you. That next phrase. My peace I leave with you. A promise peace. My peace I give unto you. A given peace. What wonderful news this is. He gives us his peace. And our God just loves to give. He lavishes peace upon it. He lavishes it upon it. It's my peace. It's a peace of God that passes all understanding. And I can get it because he gives it. And he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. And if I don't have the peace of God that the Lord promises, then guess what? I'm the problem. I'm the problem. It's not God that's a problem. It's not my circumstances that are a problem. It's me. It's my heart. It's my lack of believing. I'm not trusting. I'm not receiving by faith. So it's not my circumstances. It's not my family. It's not my health. It's not my bank account. Those don't matter when it comes to peace. It's me. It's me. You see, you can get your health all straightened out. You can get money in the bank where you don't worry about that anymore, and you're still not going to have peace if you don't have the peace of Christ in your heart. It's given. It's not up to me to manufacture some type of peace. It's an otherworldly peace. It's not something that I've got to come up with. I'm so glad for that. God's already provided it. He's none at all. I just have to receive it. I read it in the Word, and I say, Lord, I want this to be mine. And he says, granted, it's yours. It's yours. I don't have to come up with it. It's given. It's not inside of me, but it's outside of me. It's deposited within me. It's granted me by the Lord himself. Someone had said, Christ's peace provides believers with a serenity and freedom from worry and anxiety that is unaffected by triumphs over and even most difficult circumstances. You see, we just need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12:2. We look at him. We look to him who walks on the water to rescue you and me from our sinking boat. You ever feel like your boat's sinking? Water's coming in and you're going down. And what do? You say, help! You know, the Lord loves to hear that cry. Help! Help! And even in the boat, in the middle of the lake, with the water coming in from everywhere because of the storm, you and I can have peace. That is miraculous. That is amazing. He says to you and me, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? What's the problem? As he comes walking on the water. In Matthew 8:26, then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And there can be a great calm in your heart and life today, today. Tonight, in the morning, you can have a great calm. And those times when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're tossing and turning, there can be a great calm. You ever do that? Praise God if you don't, but I do, and many of you do. It seems like the older we get, the worse it gets, right? But peace, God promises peace. So it's a promised peace. It's a given peace. And thirdly, it's a real peace. It's real. It's not as the world gives. It's not as the world, you see. It's not a peace that you get from the world. The peace offered by the world is seductive and it's deceptive. And you come up empty with the peace found in the world. Empty every time. It can never satisfy. Believe me, I tried it. I tried it. And I tried my alcohol. And I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. I drank a six-pack of beer every day. And I smoked marijuana with it every day. Why? I wanted peace. I wanted to be happy. And I tried this and that, and nothing satisfied. I always came up empty. And the night I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior, I just thought, wow, this is what I was looking for, and I didn't know it. And a burden was lifted from me, and I had peace that I never knew was possible. And my wife and I went the next day and told our hippie friends that we used to drink and do drugs with. And we told them, we found it. We found the answer. We found what we're looking for. And they looked at us like, are you crazy? And they would have none of it. Peace. Peace. It's a real peace. It's not a false peace that's dependent on circumstances, that's momentary, fleeting, self-indulging, chasing after the wind, chasing, pursuing, looking, but never finding. That's the peace of the unsaved. Always coming up empty, a false peace that can never satisfy. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Isaiah 48:22. Jeremiah 6:14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Many will say, peace, peace, and they don't know what they're talking about. Romans 3:16. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You see, the world's peace is an illusion. It's all fake. It's pretend. Pie in the sky. It's not real. Christ's peace is a real deal. The world's peace is defined in negative terms. The world's peace is to be without trouble, to not have conflict, freedom from whatever causes you to be fearful or anxious or discouraged or depressed. And that's the only peace the world can offer, to take away the things that are causing you trouble. And it's all temporary and superficial. It's not the real thing. And you know, you and I don't want to settle for something that's not sufficient. But when the Lord gives peace, it's a very positive thing. It includes contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment and joy. And it's not, it doesn't care about the negative circumstances in our life of them going away. But it's a positive force for good that just shoves the negatives out of the picture. There's no longer room in my heart for anxiety because peace has invaded. Peace has invaded. So a promised peace. Number two, a given peace. Number three, a real peace. And finally, number four, a practiced peace. It's a peace that we practice. We put into practice. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. So we see from the Lord's words that this peace is promised, is given, is real. And so what must I do? Practice it. Appropriate it. Make it mine. He gives it that I might take it, receive it. We're receivers. We're always on the receiving end of our Lord. And we can be takers. Make it mine. He gives it that I might take it. There is a giver, and we need to have a taker. And you and I are the takers. And we can have and take all the peace that we need and want. Because God's supply never runs dry. Never. He just gives and gives and gives. And it's mine for the taking, so I just need to take it. And I'm not taking it, I'm not receiving it. And by doing that, I'm rejecting it. I'm saying no to God. I'm saying, Lord, I know you promised, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That's what we're saying. Let it not. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be filled with anxious thoughts. Don't let it be worried. And I tell you, I'll go there every time if I give myself permission. I say, it's okay. It's not okay. For I have a promised peace, a given peace that is a real peace. And I wrongly convince myself, well, it's good for others, but that's not possible for me. That just doesn't work for me. You know, you don't understand what I go through. You don't have worries like I do. You ever knew that? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Well, nobody knows maybe but Jesus. But we say, my troubles are different. I have a cause for worry. And we justify our sin. And it is sin. We need to call it what it is. The Lord says, stop letting your heart be troubled. nor afraid. We have the amazing promises of peace, and yet we live our lives lacking this promised peace. We have money in the bank, and we live like we have bills to pay, and the bills are just sinking us. No, everything's paid for. There's money, always money in the bank. Remember that feeling when I was younger? We'd be in trouble financially, and we'd have to borrow maybe, or we'd get another credit card that offered no interest for 1 year, you know, and we need that. And then eventually we might get things paid up, paid off, and there was money in the bank. And remember that feeling, oh, this is so nice. There's money in the bank. And we're out in debt again. Of course, then we'd find a way to get back in debt again. That's not a good way to live, but we did sometimes. But there's always money in the bank with our Lord. There's always peace, peace in the bank of heaven. And God gives and gives and gives. I just need to take some of that out and live. We need to appropriate the promise. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Again, Isaiah 26:3. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. I need to let it rule there. Be my master. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6. But everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Promised peace, number one. Given peace, number two. Real peace, number three. Practice peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Number four. What a wonderful peace our God gives. Do you have it? Is it yours? It can be. Yours for the taking. Will you receive it now? Do you know the Prince of Peace? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you given your life to Him? Have you called upon Him to save you? If not, you don't have peace with God. And you can never have God's peace unless you're at peace with Him. Bible says you're his enemy until you come to him through Christ who shed his blood for you. Will you trust him? Will you receive him? You can do it now, even as we close, right where you are. You can pray to receive Christ as your Savior. When you call upon him, say, Lord, save me. Save me. I need help. I need you. And I want you to come into my life and save me. Will you do that? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of peace. There's some of us here this morning that aren't experiencing that peace. We've let the turmoil, the circumstances, what seems to be chaos at times, to rule our hearts rather than your peace. We thank you, Lord, that even in the chaos and turmoil and troublesome times, we can have that peace of God which passes all understanding. May it be ours, Lord. May we receive it. May we believe you and your word. We pray you'll bless, and I pray for any who may not know you as Savior, they'll come to you today, Lord, and trust you. Bless as we close now. In Jesus' name, amen.